All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Brother Bill told me he didn't know why the Lord laid that scripture on his heart, and I do, because it goes so well with the message. It goes very well with the message. Our text is Isaiah 41, and this is a good word for the first message of the new year. Christ, our mediator, we saw Sunday, we looked at the first four verses mainly, and we heard Christ, our mediator, declare that he has worked and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. He's the one that called Abraham. He raised him up, sent him forth, made him more than a conqueror by Christ our Lord. He's the one that raised up Paul, sent him forth to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. And the Lord declares here, when the Gentiles saw it, they feared, and they helped each other to strengthen each other to continue in their will worship. That's what we saw with Paul in Acts 19. They were fearful of losing their livelihood that they made from making idols to worship Diana. And that's why all men hate the gospel, is because it takes away the vain refuge of their so-called free will and their works that they've done to try to save themselves. Just like that took away his money that he was making for making idols. Men hate the gospel because it strips them of every vain refuge and gives all the glory to Christ. And the Lord said that here. He said in verse 6 or verse 5, the isles saw, the Gentiles saw and feared, and the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smotheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it's ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. That's what they were doing there. And we got to see it, just a example of it in Acts 19. And they would have killed Paul. They wanted to kill Paul. But now, the Lord here declares what it is that makes you different. Believer, why did you not continue in your vain refuge? Why did you drop your vain refuge and all your vain works and trust Christ? And why is it that, like Paul, we continue to preach the gospel and believe Christ when men object and reject the gospel? Why is that? Who makes the difference? Well, our Lord tells us right here in verse 8, this is his word. This is the Lord's word to us. He said, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. It pleased God to hide these things from the wise and prudent, but he's revealed them to babes. And our Lord is declaring that right here. He said, I'm the one that called you. And brethren, it's the fact the Lord called his people, that he says that we're Israel and we're Jacob and we're the seed of Abraham, his friend. It's these names he gives us whereby he assures us in our heart that he's going to keep us and strengthen us. He says here, I took you from the ends of the earth. I brought you from the ends of the earth. I called you and I separated you and I haven't cast you away. That's what is your assurance. And this is not just assurance in that we read this word and, well, let's muster up some strength to hope in that. No, this is the word Christ speaks in your heart. This is why we're preaching the gospel. As it's going forth, Christ speaks this into your heart. And he says to you personally, fear thou not. You are Israel. You are Jacob. You are the seed of Abraham, my friend. I've called you. I've made you my servant. I've not passed you by. I've chosen you. I've not cast you away. That's him. When he speaks that, that's our assurance. I've titled this, Every Believer's Assurance. And it is Christ. It's Him speaking this to us in our heart. He says in verse 10, because these things are so, He says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Where does he say? Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. But why? Because their strength in you? No. Because I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's the assurance of every believer. It's Christ. So I want to look at these names mainly. And I want to look at see what we can learn in these names and see from these names how it is we have assurance in what Christ is saying to us here. Now, when we hear the Lord call His people Israel and Jacob and the seed of Abraham, that's who He says you are. You're sitting here that believe. He says you are Israel, you're Jacob, you're the seed of Abraham. Now, when we hear Him say this, we need to make sure we understand who He's not speaking about. Who's He not speaking about here? You know this, but I'm going to say this because this is going to go on. This is going to be recorded, and somebody that'll hear this later may have never heard this, and they don't know this. And we need to repeat this, and you and me need to hear this again, don't we? We need to hear this again. When He calls His people Israel, He's not speaking of the nation Israel. You know, most in Israel rejected the Lord; they rejected God. When Christ came, they rejected Him. When He speaks here and calls His people Jacob, He's not talking about the natural sons of Jacob. And when He calls us the seed of Abraham, He's not speaking of all the children of Abraham. Most people in this world won't confess what it means to be a Jacob. They won't confess themselves to be what it means to be one of Christ's true Jacobs. That is, to be the supplanter, the sinner, the one in whom dwells nothing good. Most people won't confess that, and we wouldn't either until Christ spoke this word to us. And not all the children of Abraham are the seed of Abraham. You know, there's three major religions in the world, and all three claim to be the seed of Abraham: the Jews, the Muslims, and Christians. But the Muslims and the Jews are not, but He saved some out of all those three, and not all those that claim to be Christians are the seed of Abraham. It's just those He calls. Look at Romans 9, and we'll just be brief here, but I do want you to see it because somebody's going to hear this that hadn't heard this, and we need to be reminded of it. Romans 9, verse 6, Paul's praying for his countrymen. And he said in verse 6, he prayed for them that they might be saved, those who were the natural children of Israel, because he said they didn't believe. And he said, verse 9, but it's not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel. He calls his people, Christ in our text calls his people Israel. But here he says they're not all Israel which are of that nation Israel. Then in our text, he calls us the seed of Abraham. He said, neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. God said, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. That was his word of promise. And then he deals with Jacob. He says, we're Jacob. But he says here, not only this, when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. For it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Salvation doesn't begin with us, does it? Salvation doesn't begin with a sinner. Salvation began with God the Father choosing whom he would in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make God unrighteous? No, that's his glory. That's his glorious God. That's his prerogative as God. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," he put him in the cleft of the rock, and the Lord declared, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." That was the word of the Lord. So this right here is why, child of you that are the children of God, this is why he says, "Fear thou not." You're Abraham. You're Jacob. You're the seed of Abraham. You're Jacob. You're Israel. Now let's see what that means. Let's look at these three names and let's hear the Lord declare who his people are. He says here in verse 8, "You're Israel, my servant. You're Jacob, whom I've chosen. The seed of Abraham, my friend." Now let's talk about Israel. You know that's Christ's name. That is Christ's name. Turn over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. That's Christ's name. Verse 1. This is Christ speaking right here. He says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." This is Christ. "And he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hath he hid me." That's what Christ is promising to do for us in our text. He's promising, "I've called you." He's promising, "I've made you my servant. I'm making you a threshing instrument to preach my gospel, and I'm going to hold you in my hand and keep you." That's what he's promising to do for us. And Christ said, "And that's what my Father did for me." And he says, "And he said to me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." You see, that's Christ's name, Israel. And I can show you, look down the page, and you see this can only be said of Christ, because he says this in verse 8, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Lord said to Christ. He said, "In an acceptable time I've heard thee, in a day of salvation I've helped thee, I'll preserve thee, give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places." Only Christ can do that. He's the covenant, and only he calls his people to him. And do you see there, his name is Israel. That's his name. Christ gave his name Israel to Jacob. That's how come his name was changed to Israel. Christ gave him his name. And that's what he's declaring that he's done to you and me, that he's called by his grace. He's given us his name. He's given us his name. Israel means, as a prince, you've had power with God and men and have prevailed. That's what it means. That's Christ. He's the Prince of Peace, and as the God-man mediator, he had power with God and with men. He came and bore the sin of his people and put it away and redeemed us from the curse of the law, and so that he reconciled, and through regenerating us, he brings us into peace. God and his people into peace. He has power with God and with men to make peace between us. He's Israel. That's who he is. And when he calls you, the reason he's made peace with God for us is he gives you his name. And truly, God receives you because he receives Christ, who is Israel. And he receives you as Christ himself. "Thou art Israel, my servant." That's what he says in our text. You know, the willing bondservant, when it came time to go and he had served to pay his debt, he was free to go, he could leave. But his master was so good that he was willing to stay and serve as a free man. He wasn't a slave anymore. He was free now. He just wanted to serve the master as a free servant. Well, Christ, that's what he's done for us. They would take him to the doorpost and they would bore his ear through, open his ear. Christ has opened our ear. He's made us hear that because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, he's made us free. He's made us absolutely free. He says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ came and did for us what we couldn't do. He came in our nature and fulfilled the righteousness of the law for us and made us free. And when he's made you know this, regenerated you, and made you know this, he makes you willing to serve him. You want to. You're not a slave. You're not a servant as a slave. You're a willing bond servant to Christ. You're Israel, my servant, he said. What about this name Jacob? That's our name we got from Adam. Jacob means supplanter. It means sinner. And that describes every sinner that comes into this world. But not every sinner that comes into this world thinks they are a sinner. And they're certainly not all Christ Jacobs. But the Lord teaches you, his child. He makes us know we're Jacob. We're the sinner. We're the supplanter. And you see what he's declaring here. Like what we saw with Paul and that whole city being on an uproar and ready to kill Paul, that was the Lord showing Paul that he had no strength in himself. That was the Lord keeping Paul, knowing he's Jacob. He's the sinner. He's weak. He has no strength. He could not change that or fix it or get out of it. And he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. But in the Lord who delivered us from that great death and does deliver and we believe shall deliver. That's why he calls us Jacob. He's made us Israel in him. We're righteous in him. But he's going to keep you knowing in yourself you're Jacob. And he does it by working providence to bring you to a place like Athens and into a situation like what Paul was in. Now let's see how he did that with Jacob. Turn over to Genesis 32. This is how he gave Jacob the name Israel. Look over here. Genesis 32. Men will preach this, and they preach this as being how that you need to wrestle with Christ in prayer until you get what you want. That's not what's being taught here at all. Jacob is scared to death. He's alone. He's absolutely weak because he's afraid his brother Esau's going to kill him. That's where he's at. And it says here in Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when Christ saw that Jacob prevailed not against him or with him, why wasn't Jacob prevailing with Christ? Because he was trying to wrestle in his own strength. He was trying to actually do what men preach from this text. He was trying to wrestle Christ to get what he wanted. And you're not going to prevail with Christ when you're trying to do anything in your own strength. Whether if it's making yourself righteous by the law or if it's saving yourself in providence that the Lord has brought you your way, you're not going to prevail that way, wrestling and trying to do it in your wisdom and in your strength. You're not going to prevail that way. And so what did Christ do? Christ touched the hollow of his thigh. That's what, when you see Paul and all Athens being in an uproar and ready to kill Paul, you know what that was? That was the Lord touching the hollow of Paul's thigh. That's what he said. He said, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we shouldn't trust ourselves. That was the Lord showing him he's still Jacob. He don't have the strength to save himself. Why is he doing that? Keep you trusting him. Now look. And when he touched the hollow of his thigh, the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And Christ said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, this is where men preach that, you know, he wrestled with him until he got the blessing. No, Christ has touched the hollow of his thigh, and it's by the power of Christ, him working in providence, him working, speaking affectionately in your heart, him working all things to touch the hollow of your thigh. And whatever it is he brings to pass, what it is just him bringing you to see you are the sinner with no strength in yourself. And so at that point, the only thing Jacob could do was hold on and beg Christ to have mercy on him. to beg Christ to have mercy on him. And Hosea 12:4 says that's how he prevailed. Listen to this from Hosea 12:4. I'm not just making this up. This is how Scripture says he prevailed. Hosea 12:4. Jacob had power with the angel. Christ is the angel. The word means messenger. He's the messenger of the covenant. That's who wrestled him. We're going to see that. He had power with the angel and prevailed. How? It says he wept and he made supplication unto Christ. Christ found him in Bethel and Christ spake with us. Christ is teaching me and you right there. What he did with Jacob, he's teaching me and you. Now look at what he did. Jacob, Genesis 32, and look here in verse 26. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And it says here, verse 27, and Christ said unto him, what is thy name? Christ does this work to bring you to come to him and confess to him, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm the sinner. He's going to make you say, you're Jacob. He's going to bring you to a place where you, and he's not, if you keep trying to wrestle against him in the power of your own strength, saving yourself out of whatever providence he's brought your way, whatever he's done and doing in your life, and you're trying to save yourself by your strength and your wisdom, and you think you're really wise, you're not. You're not. And if you're his, this is what he's going to do. He's going to keep going, touching the hollow of your thigh till he brings you to, he's going to say to you, what's your name? And you're going to confess. You might not, he might not be bringing you to cry out and say, I'm the sinner. He's bringing you to say, Lord, I cannot save myself. I can't do one thing to help, to do anything to save myself. Not in this situation, not in my life, not eternally, not before the law, not before anybody. He's going to bring you to say that if you're his. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what providence is. Together with him speaking this word to you, it's him touching the hollow of your thigh and bringing you to confess, I'm Jacob. I can't save myself. And as long as we're leaning to our own understanding, we won't prevail. As long as we're leaning to our own strength, we won't prevail. But if we're Christ, he's going to make you prevail with him. He's going to make you prevail. He's going to bring you to weep and beg for mercy. And he's going to bring you to confess you're Jacob. Verse 28, and Christ said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Do you see how he prevailed? The Prince of Peace came and made him prevail. The Prince of Peace, Christ, Israel, came to him and brought him down to nothing and made him confess he's the sinner. And Christ blessed him and gave him his name. And our Lord doesn't stop this work. He's going to keep, if he only did that work one time, you know what would happen? We would think we had strength. Why did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4, why did he, or 5 I think it is, why did he say they had all that trouble in Asia, that we should not trust in ourselves? Christ is going to keep showing us this. He's going to keep touching the hollow of your thigh. And look what happened, verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And Christ said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? He just told Jacob his name. He gave him his name. You're Israel. And it says here, and he blessed him there. That's, it hurts and it's painful when he touches your thigh or works it to bring you to nothing. But that's him blessing his child, making you know you're Jacob. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. He's the wisdom. He's the strength and power. That's what true sanctification is, what he just did to Jacob right there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's what God, Christ did for him. And when he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. The sun of righteousness rises and heals you when he does this. And he halted on his thigh. From that, From that day he first called you, you started walking by faith. You walked differently than you did before. Jacob walked differently. He walked by faith. And Christ is going to keep you walking by faith by keep continuing to show you this over and over that you're Jacob. So that you see you're utterly dependent on Christ to save you. That is the point of Isaiah 41. Salvation's not just knowing the 5 points of Calvinism and confessing Christ in water baptism. Salvation is Christ saving us every day by making us know we're only the sinner. That's it. Nothing more. Nothing more. That's what the trouble's for. Nothing to keep you knowing you're nothing more than a sinner. And that he has worked it and he has done it. Go back and read Isaiah 41, 1 through 4. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. This is why he tells you back in our text now, Isaiah 41, when he makes you know you're Jacob, the sinner, he says, but thou art Israel, my servant. You're Jacob, whom I've chosen. Verse 9, thou whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said to thee, thou art my servant. I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. That means weak in heart, troubled in heart. Why not? For I'm thy God, I will strengthen thee. It's in spirit, it's in heart. And yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's the believer's assurance. That it's Christ speaking this and doing this work and keeping you looking only to him. That's our assurance. All right, let's look at this name, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He promised Abraham when he called him. He said, I'm going to save a seed out of all the nations, Abraham. They're going to be your seed. They're going to be your children, your true spiritual children. Now, let me ask you this. The first one of Abraham's true seed that was produced, it was not Ishmael. Ishmael was produced by Abraham, the work of his hand. That wasn't the first seed. That wasn't one God promised. That was a child of the flesh, the work of Abraham's hand. The first child that was a true seed of Abraham that God produced was Isaac. And you know how he was produced? God said it. He was a child of promise. God said, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And it was God who produced that child. He was born of a miraculous birth. He was born from above. He was born of God. That's how every one of Abraham's spiritual children are created. Born from above. Born of the Spirit of God. Christ did it. Christ worked it. He said, I've wrought and worked it. Look at Galatians 3:26. And that's when you're united to Christ, you're one with Christ, and you're one with your brethren because you're born of one Spirit. One Spirit. He covered the multitude of our sin because he was committed to us, agape love, and he makes you cover the multitude of your brother's sin and be committed to him. That's the love of God. And he says we're one. Verse Galatians 3:26, he said, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. It's not fleshly differences that matter. You're neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's but one reason, brethren, that you differ from any other sinner in this world. One reason. There's but one reason we have to not fear. It is because this is all by Christ. That's his whole point in verse 4. He said, who has worked it and done it? Who called the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. He's going to say it again down the page. When Demetrius and that multitude wanted to kill Paul, Paul said, it's 2 Corinthians 1:9. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Christ touched the hollow of his thigh that day. I thought he did that on the road to Damascus when he regenerated him. He did. He did. He made him know he was the sinner that day. But again, at Athens, he touched the hollow of his thigh and he made Paul know, I can't trust myself. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Do you believe God's able to raise the dead? That's why Abraham went up that mountain and in his heart sacrificed his son, because he believed God was able to raise from the dead. That's a work of faith. He'll bring you into a situation where you're helpless to help your brethren or to help yourself to manifest that he's given you faith to trust he's able to raise the dead. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Paul said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in him that raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You see, the power to fear not, that's not even of you, brethren. It's not of us. It's Christ speaking in power. Look here. Verse 8. He comes to you through this gospel. And this is how he's going to do it. He's going to use the providence to bring you into a situation, health-wise, whatever it is, where you can't save yourself. And he's going to speak through this gospel. And he said, but thou, Israel, are my servant. Verse 8, you're Jacob, whom I've chosen. You're the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. They won't be found. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's why God's people don't want to go against one another. The Lord's saving his people and protecting his people. And we know that's what the Lord's going to work for every one of us, brethren. He will save you. You're his Israel. He gave you his name. You're Jacob in yourself. But you're a seed of Abraham. He entered covenant promise to save his people. That's what we are by his grace. I pray he give us grace to trust him. He has, he is, and he shall deliver. Fear thou not. That's our assurance. Amen. Let's go to him. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you for continually teaching it to us over and over. Thank you for working all providence to teach us, to keep us ever looking to Christ alone and not to ourselves. Lord, we have every reason to trust you. Lord, work this in us. Speak into our heart and keep us not fearing any but you. Keep us trusting you. Keep us looking only to you, knowing that you shall make good on every promise, every word you've spoken to us. You've made us righteous. You'll keep us. You'll protect us by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for working this in every one of your people. What a peace you give us to be able to just rest and trust you. You're able to teach your people. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Forgive us our sins, for not believing you, for trying to lean to our wisdom and our strength and our works. Lord, save us from us. You are our sanctification, we pray. In thee we have righteousness and strength. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.